For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
It's November the 6th, and in Derech Hashem, we're up to Perek Hey. Now, as I mentioned to you last time, this is the last Perek in his first Chelek, which is his introduction to the way things are set up in this world. And this one is the most technical of the five. And we'll try to cover it and then try to understand a little bit more deeply what's being said. The Ramchal over here, the title is Bechalkei Abriyo Matzaveihem. So, the Ramchal over here describes the various types of creatures that there are in the world, the universe, both the physical world and the spiritual world. And he breaks it down. So he really gets into a certain amount of detail here that is beyond us. So he says you have the physical world. The physical world has generally two types of creatures. You have creatures down here. That would be people, animals, etc. And there are creatures in the heavens. He doesn't mean angels here. He still means the physical world. And that he means something to do with the mazalos and the stars, etc., which we don't really fully grasp, but something about those creatures. Then, in the Olam Haruchni, there's also two different groups. There are those that are called malachim, called angels, and those that are called kochos, strengths. What kind of kochos? I don't know. But and then within Malachim, there's different types. And within the Kochos, there are different types. So he goes through describing the various things that there are in creation. He also mentions that there is another group that's kind of in between the Olam HaGashmi and the Olam HaRuchni, that they, in some ways, are similar to the Olam HaGashmi, in certain ways, similar to the Olam HaRuchni. The Gemara really says this. And that is the Shadim. What are Shadim? I have no idea. But there is such a thing called Shadim, and they are creatures that exist that are similar to people in certain ways and similar to Malachim in certain ways. They're kind of in the middle. But of all the various types of things that Hashem created, only Adam is a Murkav of Gashmi and Ruchni. Everything else is whatever they're created as. Either created as Gashmi, created as Ruchni, created as somewhere on the spectrum in between the two. But even the Shadim who are created in between the two, that doesn't mean they're a Morkov. It's not that they have a Gashmi part and a Ruchni part that is fused together. They were created in this kind of middle stage. But Adam, we have two entirely different parts to us. And those two parts are, as he says, completely different from each other. They have no relationship to each other. And the Chachma HaElyona, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was geyzer that the Neshama and the Guf should be fused together. But we are made up of polar opposites, our Neshama and our Guf. And we described the Melchama that goes on between the Neshama and the Guf in a person's lifetime. And that is because we are complete opposites. By contrast, the Shadim, who are creatures that are similar to Gashmi and similar to Ruchni, they don't have an inner struggle because they're not made up of two entirely different things that are having a Melchama with each other. This is the way they're created, kind of in the middle. But we weren't created that way. We were created with two different extremes that have been fused together. That is the matzav of Adam. He makes it clear that animals should not be confused with human beings. Animals, although they are alive and they're animated, which means as far as Gashmi goes, they are as close to Ruchnias as you can get and still be Gashmi. Their Gashmi, that which animates them and gives them life, is definitely something which is approaching Ruchni, because something Gashmi shouldn't have life in and of itself. Nevertheless, animals are purely Gashmi. As he says, it may be a Gashmi Hadaka, maybe a very subtle Gashmi, but it's still Gashmi. They don't have any Neshama. Only Adam is a Gashmi that has a Neshama that is Murkav, that is grafted together. He makes the point which we made before, which is that we know the Gashmius world, and we are familiar with the various types of creatures that there are in the Gashmi world. The Ruchni world, we have no first-hand experience with, and therefore we don't really understand what it is. We only have a Mesorah from the Torah and from Chazal about the Ruchni world. So, for example, we know that there are Ruchnius mirror images of things that are Gashmi. So, we talked about this already in the past. You can have a Yerushalayim Shalmala, Yerushalayim Shalmata. There is that's perhaps the most powerful example. But the truth is that everything that there is in the Gashmius world has some sort of parallel in the Ruchnius world. And they are linked to those parallels. What are those parallels? I can't tell you. I don't know what it looks like, and I don't know what it is. But there are parallels for everything Gashmi in the Ruchnius world. Now, the way that Hashem set it up, and this is really the main point of what he's trying to do in this parak, is that Hashem runs the world through these Ruchnius, through the Ruchnius world. It's that there are malachim, there are kochos, there are various types of creatures. What I mean is created beings in the Ruchnius world. We're talking not like a dozen, we're talking about billions of creatures in the Ruchnius world. And they have certain jobs, and they have certain netios, they have certain they have certain koichas, and when they do things, it affects this world, so that the wind blows and the sun shines and the clouds cause rain and the trees blossom and the oceans, the tides go in and out, and the moon goes around the earth, and the earth spins on its axis. All of what goes on in this world, even the lion eats the goat, and the, you know, whatever is going on in the world is all really being caused by the Ruchnius component that is linked to the Gashmius component. Meaning that Hashem has these Ruchnius creatures. They do whatever they're supposed to do. They're told by Hashem what to do. It doesn't mean that Hashem is telling them every second what to do. It means that they were put into creation with certain jobs, and they just do them. And when they do what they're supposed to do, which they always do what they're supposed to do, they can never not do what they're supposed to do, then that they're like attached. There's some sort of an interface, and there's an attachment to what's down here. So when this is an oversimplification, but when the Ruchnius wind blows, then the Gashmius wind blows. When the Ruchnius sun rises, the Gashmius sun rises. There's no Ruchnius sun. But what I mean to say is that the koach that's meant that causes the sun to rise, when it does whatever it's supposed to do upstairs, that causes the sun to rise, and it does it all the time, like it's supposed to do. And that's the way that everything is set in motion. And everything in this world is affected, and not just affected, but it does anything that happens in this world, any change that happens in this world, everything that any event is because of what's happening in the Ruchnius realm. Now, the Ruchnius realm is in turn attached to the stars. The stars are Gashmi, but the Ruchnius realm is attached to the stars. The stars somehow are attached to things down here. We don't know how Mazel works, but we do know that Mazel exists, and somehow the movement of the stars affects what goes on down here. The movement of the stars is set in motion, and they just go. The reason why they're set in motion and they just go is because their Ruchnius component were set in motion and they just go. And it starts, as he says, it's milmala lamata. Whatever olamas and kaychas that are out there, the higher ones affect the lower ones, affect the lower ones, affect the lower ones, down to us, down to this world. And everything is trickling down from upstairs. All of this is embedded in Briyas HaOlam. The one exception to this is human beings are also affected by everything that's going on. But you're correct, but be more specific. What about human beings?
Bechira.
Oh, yeah. That's the one exception. Is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left the ability for human beings to make decisions that are not affected, or I should say, not caused by, or not controlled, thank you, by those Ruchnius components upstairs. More than that, not only is our Bechira not controlled by those Kaychas, but just the opposite. Our Bechira affects them. When we make a decision, whatever the decision is, so that decision in turn affects the next higher Olam, which affects the next higher, all the way up to the highest echelons of Ruchnius gets affected by whatever decision we make. So that where all the other Hashpa is Milmala Lamata, Bechira is Milmata Lamaila. Now, when we make our Bechira, every decision we make affects everything else. All of the kaychas upstairs get affected by our Bechira. They still have to do their job, but their job is now based on circumstances that are different because we made a Bechira. So whereas, let's just give a very, very simplistic and seemingly innocuous example. There's wind. The kaychas upstairs are causing the wind to blow, and the leaves have also been caused to die, and the wind and is causing the leaves to blow off of the tree. So the leaf is going to, based on all the kaychas upstairs, that leaf is going to blow off the tree and flutter down and land on the ground. And a human being is standing there and decides that, makes a bechira, that, you know what, I'm going to catch that leaf. So he catches the leaf. So now the leaf doesn't flutter to the ground. But the kayach that controls the leaf and the wind was supposed to make it flutter to the ground. So now the bechira of the human being has stopped it. And not only that, but now that leaf, which has a component upstairs which is supposed to cause it to flutter to the ground, is now being controlled by the human being's decision. So it's still in force, gravity is still a kayach, it's still there, but it has now been affected by a human being's decision. Because there are so many human beings in the world, and because human beings make decisions literally all the time, we're constantly making decisions, so you understand the chaos that is going on. You have all these kaychas that are meant to do X, Y, and Z constantly, and if they were left to their own devices, they would just do their thing. But then you have human beings who are constantly making decisions, so it goes back and affects all those kaychas. But the krachas then go back and affect what goes on down here. And then people make decisions, and there's this constant exchange of the natural order of the krachas upstairs and the bechira order of people's decisions. It's an exceedingly complex creation. Obviously, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could understand it all. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can have the ability to create such a thing. But it is something which even the most powerful computers couldn't possibly be able to follow, because every second everything is changing. Every second the billions of people making decisions is constantly making everything in flux. Now that's a very simplistic example, because whether the leaf hits the ground or doesn't hit the ground is irrelevant, you would think. But once you start factoring in how our decisions interplay with each other and with each other's decisions, then it can get really, really complicated. And then it can really matter. So that's the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the system going, with the milmala lamata and lamata lamayla. And it's going on all the time. That's the way the Bria works.
The whole new spin on an environmentalist, like their whole, you know,
that's right.
The cosmic.
Now, there's parts here which I admit are actually somewhat difficult to grasp, and I'm not going to tackle them because they just become too much to follow. I mean, we could learn it inside and really dig down and try to understand it, but they're not simple. This presentation. This is, he doesn't say this point, but you should be aware that that's what it means. The Rosh Yeshiva Weinberg Samrach used to say this. The Nachash said to Chava that if you eat from the Eitz Hadas, you will become someone who can be Bairei Olamos. You can create worlds. That's what he said to Chava. The Nachash said, when he was trying to entice her to eat it, so he said to her, "Ki odea Elokim, ki biyom achalcham imenu v'nifkechu einichem, v'yisem keilokim, you'll be like Hashem, yodei tov v'ra." Rashi says, "V'yisem keilokim, yotzrei olamos, you'll create worlds." Now, was the Nachash lying? So, Rosh Yeshiva said, the Nachash was not lying. By eating from the Eitz Hadas, it's true Adam and Chava had Bechira before they ate from the Eitz Hadas. But by eating from the Eitz Hadas, that Bechira became much broader, much more. Before as we talked about, the Bechira was perfectly calibrated between Gashmi and Ruchni. And there was really only a few things, primarily not eating from the Eitz Hadas, that Adam and Chava had to do. By eating from the Eitz Hadas, it now becomes much broader, much bigger. There's many more decisions that have to be made by human beings. Bechira now is a much more all-encompassing thing. Whenever you make a decision, you are a Yotzer Olamos. Every time you make a decision, you affect all of the Olamos. All the Olamos were in motion and in force prior to the creation of Adam. That means all the Kaychas were working and doing, and had Adam not been created, one could have, in theory, gotten a hold of the program, punched in the program, and figured out what everything would be 10 years from now, 20 years from now, a billion years from now. It doesn't matter. Because once all those cards are set in motion, nothing's going to change them. They're going to do what they're supposed to do. And they're going to interact with each other, and the comets, and the this, and everything's going to go as it's supposed to go. When there's going to be a hurricane or a volcano, everything is going to happen according to the natural order, and it will happen. That doesn't mean there won't be cataclysmic things happening, but there's a program, and it's in motion, and nothing will change that program until Adam was created. When Adam is created,
then Adam's decisions are constantly changing the program. Always changing the program. Consistently, billions of times over, every second. Because everybody's making decisions. So everything is constantly in flux. You can no longer program it in and say, what's going to happen 100 years from now? You can't program that in. That is based. What's going to happen 100 years from now? Forget 100 years from now. What's going to happen 10 minutes from now? That is based on literally billions of decisions that people are going to make in the next 10 minutes. It's not possible to know. If this person chooses this, then it'll affect that person. And it just becomes incredibly complex. Because Hashem left it in our hands to be Boirei Olamos. Yoitzer Olamos. We're literally creating worlds because we reshape the world every time we make a decision. Now, there are certain things that Hashem has in play that He wants to happen. And they're going to happen. Mashiach is going to come no matter what. Chiyas HaMeisim is going to happen no matter what. These things are going to happen irrespective of people's decisions. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His infinite wisdom, is able to make all that happen irrespective of what decisions people make. Meaning no matter what decisions are made by the billions every second, it doesn't matter. All of those decisions are not going to prevent the coming of Mashiach. They're not going to prevent Tchiyas HaMeisim. No matter what decisions are made, Hashem has set it up that the same outcome is going to happen. No matter what. It's almost like those, those Choose Your Own Adventure books. Remember those?
Yeah.
When I was growing up, they were very, very popular.
You know, they're horrible. You can't ever end them without, like, dying.
Right. No.
There's a couple.
But you could have, those books don't work this way, but you could write a Choose Your Own Adventure book where the reader gets to choose and choose and choose, but no matter what they choose, ultimately it's going to come back to the same ending. It'll just be different for how they get there. How much pain, how much suffering, how much pleasure, how many people, how few people. You'll have different details, but the end game is going to be the same. The way Hashem created the world is that, and it's mind-boggling to even think about it, that just think about how many decisions people have made since Adam HaRishon was created. There's no number for it. Ain't mispar. You can't possibly put a number on. I'm not talking about how many people there are. How many decisions, how much Bechira was used since Adam HaRishon was created. It's beyond comprehension. The way Hashem set up the world is that no matter what Bechira is done, which will affect everything, every second of the day, which means that what happens now and what happens a second later is different depending on what Bechira is done. At the end, it's all going to end up in the same place. How? That's beyond our comprehension. That's the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Chachma HaElyona, that He's able to set it up, that it's all going to end up there anyway. But that it still matters because, again, how pleasant will it be? How tumultuous will it be? How much pain, how much suffering, how much pleasure? All of that, how much skar, how much ayish, all of that depends on Bechira. But ultimately, it's all going to end up in one place.
The ultimately ending up in one place on a global scale or a personal scale?
Global. Global. Personal, everybody's has their own Bechira.
Right. Okay.
Right. Everybody has drachem in front of them. They can, you know. So it becomes, when you think about it, it's when you think about it in this way. What you're hearing now, there's no chidush in what you're hearing now. You really knew all this already. Maybe you didn't think about it as olamus. Think about it as the natural world. I'm saying you knew all this already. But when you think about it on this level, you realize that when you're sitting there with an internal struggle of should I do this or shouldn't I do this? Should I speak the Lashon Hara? Should I not speak the Lashon Hara? Should I be resentful? Should I not be resentful? When you're thinking about those things, should I waste my time or should I be productive? When you're making those decisions,
we tend to become very myopic, and we think about it just about ourselves. That's what we tend to think about. If we think at all, sometimes we don't even think, but if we think, that we become very myopic. It's just about me. Is my decision now, am I going to deal with my Yetzer Hara or not deal with my Yetzer Hara? Am I going to, it's all about me. It's all about, or maybe it's about the next person too. If it's Lashon Hara, maybe it's about the person I'm speaking about. Maybe the person I'm speaking to. Maybe. But it's far bigger than that. Everything that we do, every decision we make, immediately affects all the elements all the way upstairs, which immediately affects everything upstairs, which affects everybody else. Now, obviously, those closer to you are going to be affected more readily, more quickly, and more easily than those further away and those more distant, both physically distant and socially distant. But the fact is, every decision is playing off every other decision and is affecting everything else. And that's all the time. It's constant. So we are on the one hand, extremely empowered. Bechira is an unbelievably empowering thing. Then we have the ability to be Yisrei Olamos, literally. But at the same time, we don't have Bechira over certain things. Certain things are a given. The outcome is a given, globally. And we can't change the Koichos upstairs. The Koich that makes the sun rise is always going to be there, even if we blow up the sun. But the kayach is still going to be there in some way or other. We can't change the kayach. We can affect what the kayach is able to do by taking away or adding or whatever it is to whatever the kayach is dealing, or getting in the way. Blowing up the sun obviously is not happening. That leaf falling to the ground, the kayach that causes the leaf to fall off the tree and float to the ground is still going to be there. The wind is still going to blow. Even if I burn all the leaves off the tree, the wind that was going to blow them off is still going to blow. The gravity that was going to pull them down is still going to be there. We can't change those kaychas, but what we do is we change the circumstances in which the kaychas are operating. And it's constant that happens. Now, there is another major point I want to make to you before we finish this up. But let me just finish off what he says first. That he also makes a point about Tov and Ra, that all of these kaychas that are going on are the kaychas that ultimately determine whether there is Tov or whether there's Ra. Tov is defined as being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Ra is defined as being distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And those kaychas, it's our Bechira that is determining what's going to happen, but those kaychas are still the ones that are the, how do we put this? The way I think he means is that when I make the right decision, so it affects everything upstairs. The way those things are affected moves me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's those kaychas that are moving me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, somehow. I don't really understand it. I'm only pretending. But something like that. The thing is that one important point he makes is that Hashem is the source of Tov. He's not the source of Ra. Ra is being distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's Tov. We talked about this before. There's constant Tov being projected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Either we tap into it or we don't. But the Tov is coming from him. The thing is, you have to deal with the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech Oseh Shalom Uvorei. No. That's what we say in Davin, right? Mm-hmm. But the Pasuk actually says Uvorei Ra. We change it to Es HaKol in Davin. But the Pasuk says Uvorei Ra.
So, the ability to be distant.
Okay, so he created something called Ra, which is the mitzvahs of being able to be distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there is a creation of Ra, but he's Kulay Tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ra is the mitzvahs, the state of being, of being distant from him. That's right. Now, one last point about this whole thing, and that is that why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up this way? I don't want to say why. What's the difference whether he's doing it through these koichos, these malachim, or whether it would just be here himself? Why do you need that realm? Why can't it just be HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvado v'atmo is making things happen, the wind blow and the sun rise and the whatever it is, and we have Bechira, when we have Bechira, then that affects everything else. Why do there need to be this realm called Ruchnius, which is the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all the Kachos run the way they're supposed to run? Why? I'm not asking why he did it that way. I can't answer that question. But what's the difference? What's the practical difference whether it's through these intermediaries or whether it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly? What's the difference? Now this question is a very, very important question, because in Parshas Kisisa we have that after the Klal Yisrael did the Chet of the Egel Hazav, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Yeah, it's true, he does say that. He does say that, it's true. Hayidaber Hashem Moshe Lech Alei Mizeh Atah V'Ha'am Asher Ha'Leisa Me'eretz Mitzrayim El Ha'aretz Asher Nishpati La'Avram L'Yitzchak U'L'Yakov Le'imod La'Zarcha Etnena. So go to Eretz Yisrael. V'Shalachti L'Fanech HaMalach, I'll send the Malach in front of you. וגירשתי את הכנעני, האמורי, זכיתי בפריזי אחי והיבוסי, על ארץ זבת חלב ודבש, כמו אלה בקרבך. I won't go into your midst, כי אם כשעורף עתה, פנח עליך בדרך. So, I'm going to send the Malach instead of me personally. וישמע העם את הדבר הרע הזה ויסבלו. The nation went into mourning. ולא שסו איש את יו עליו. Afterwards, Moshe Rabbeinu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayom Eilav, Im Ein Panecha Holchim, if you don't go with us, Al Ta'aleinu Mizeh, then don't take us out. Just destroy us. Not interested in a Malach. Either you or nothing. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's so bad about a Malach? He's just doing what Hashem said anyway. A Malach is a robot. So what's the difference whether it's Hashem directly or Hashem through a Malach, if the Malach is doing everything Hashem says anyway?
And the Bechira has some sort of measure of control over that, over the secondary. Meaning that, like, when the Olam HaRuchni has these kofos, so we have a measure of Bechira on top of that.
Well, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading us directly, he still does not take away our Bechira. He still allows our Bechira. Let's ask it a little differently also. In the Haggadah, we say, Ani v'lo Malach, Ani v'lo Saraf, Ani v'lo Ashaliach, Ani hu v'lo Acher. I'm the one who's going to do it. V'hi keisi chol b'char b'eretz Mitzrayim. V'avarti b'eretz Mitzrayim b'alayla hazeh. Right? Hashem says, I'm going to do it, not a Malach. What's the difference? Send a Malach. A Malach is just going to do what Hashem says anyway. So who cares? What's the difference whether it's a Malach or whether it's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Isn't it all the same? But you see, it's not all the same. In the Haggadah we emphasize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it himself. And here Moshe Rabbeinu rejects what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. I don't want a Malach.
In a physical sense, it's different.
Yeah, why?
If, you know, let's say our relationship with our parents, if they would, instead of just taking care of us, they'd send someone else. You know, they're giving
okay.
You everything you need, but a lot, you know, it seems more distant.
So that's true, except that with a nanny, so the nanny is not going to do the same thing your parents are going to do, right?
Right.
So there, you can. What you're saying is true, but I'm just pointing out to you, it's not so easy to draw the parallel, because the nanny is not going to shower the same love. The nanny also is a decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
And the nanny's decisions aren't going to be the exact same decisions as your parents. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says of a Malach, the Malach is doing exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have done. Exactly, to a T. So then what's the difference?
I mean, clearly, this is the way the world runs. So, you know, it was always like this.
Yeah, okay. So, but you have to say what you're saying is correct. You have to draw that analogy. You have to say that somehow there is distance when there's a malach, even though the malach does exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. But you got to say there's distance. So, in what way is there distance? What's the distance?
You don't get that connection with Hashem.
Right. But what does that mean? You're correct. What does it mean not to have the connection? I'm going to give you two examples of what it means. One is, let's use as a mashal, the difference between Bezdin Shalmata and Bezdin Shalmala. We know there's a Bezdin Shalmata, person does an Avera, they're brought to Bezdin, they're tried for their Avera. If Bezdin finds them guilty, Bezdin punishes them. There's Bezdin Shalmala, person does an Avera, Chas V'Shalom, and it's tried by the Bezdin Shalmala, person is found guilty, then a person is punished. But there's a major difference between Bezdin Shalmata and Bezdin Shalmala. Bezdin Shalmata has rules that it has to follow. And those rules have to be met. There's technicalities. Sometimes a person is not punished because they didn't have warning properly. There's a set of rules that the Bezdin Shalmata follows. One of the rules the Bezdin Shalmata follows is that if a person is convicted, then the punishment has to happen, irrespective of circumstances. The person did an avera for which the person has to be put to death. The person has a wife, the person has little children, the person has a job. Can't do anything about it. He has to be put to death. But what's going to be with his wife? What's going to be with his kids? I don't know. We can be compassionate, but we've got to put him to death. We don't have a choice. Or better yet, the person does an avera for which they have to get malchus. Malchus is a pretty, it's painful and it's an embarrassing thing. And what avera did he do? He ate treif. With Edim, Hasra, he ate treif. Now we have to give him malchus. So he schlepped to Bezdin. Before he gets to Bezdin, he davens mincha. And when he's davening mincha, he breaks down crying, Slach lanu avinu, imamish, his terrible charata, Kabbalah ala asid, vidui, the works. I mean, mamish achuva shlema, me ahava. 100%. Zdainas nasas kizchuyas. He says to Bezdin, I can't get malchus anymore. I did tshuva. Bezdin says, it's not our business. That's from you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll give you malchus. He did the avera, you get malchus. We can't deal with these. We deal with what we got to go by the book. You did the avera, Edom and Asra, you get malchus. So there's a rigidity in the Bezdin Shalmata. The Bezdin Shalmala takes everything into account. Did the person do tshuva? Who's going to be affected if something happens to this person? What's the background of the person? Maybe they had something happen to them that they were in a bad mood or in a bad situation. That's why it happened and it won't happen. All of the excuses, everything is taken into account by the Bezdin Shalmala, not by the Bezdin Shalmata. That's one dugma of an example between Malachim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malach is a robot, a very complex robot, with far more detailed instructions than Bezdin has, because we're only human beings. A Malach can be programmed in a far more complex manner. Nevertheless, it's going to be by the book. Whatever that book is, it's going to be by the rules. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're dealing with him directly, there's much more taken into account. That's one. The other is this. When something is done by a shliach of the Ribbono Shel Olam, then, as you mentioned, it means we're not as close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're more distant. Right? If it's done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kvodo v'atzmo, it means we're close to him. What's the difference between being close to him or further from him? Obviously, the one difference is our own ruchnius. But what's the difference if it's a malach killing the becharos of Mitzrayim, or if it's Hashem killing the becharos of Mitzrayim? the Bechaz Mitzrayim are not getting closer or further from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're being killed. So what's the difference? The difference is this. When a malach does something, it's done right. Because a malach is a robot, he does what he's told to do. When a HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something, it's done perfectly. Part of the Ha'aris Panim of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that things are perfect. Absolutely perfectly calibrated. Whenever there is an intermediary, it's done right. But it's not done perfectly. Not because the malach is falling down on the job. It's because they're not programmed to be perfect. There are certain things that aren't going to come out exactly right. I think I mentioned this to you last year. In Kriyas Yamsuf, when Klal Yisrael said, Ze keli vanvehu, even the babies said, Ze keli vanvehu, they were at a point. Ze keli vanvehu. Part of what they were seeing is the unbelievable perfection of what was happening. Every Mitzri got exactly what they deserved, and Klal Yisrael was able to see it. This Mitzri whipped me and gave me a lash across my shoulder. As he's being thrown up in the air by the water, the chariot runs against him and slashes him exactly on the shoulder, exactly in the place that he slashed me. They saw it. They saw perfectly. This Mitzri severed that Yid's arm. His arm got severed. Everything was exactly, perfectly meted out to every single Mitzri. And the Klal Yisrael saw it. They recognized whichever Mitzri they knew and saw the perfect punishment. Exactly what that Mitzri did got heaped on his own head. That perfection was Zekeli. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things perfectly. When a malach does it, are the mitzvah going to get killed? Yes, they'll get killed. Is anybody going to get away? No, no one's going to get away. They're all going to die. Every bechor will die, like they're supposed to. But it won't necessarily be with the perfection of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When it's bechvodo v'atzmo, you see that we are nothing but brios. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the bairei, we are the nivraim. You see it, you have no doubts, there's no room to waver. It's obvious to all. That's the difference between a direct intervention by Kadosh Baruch Hu and when a malach is involved. So the general way the world works is through malachim and through koichos, which is another way of saying distance from Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is another way of saying not being able to see that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the bairei. There's this veil. It's a person can walk through life and delude themselves into thinking this world came about on its own and there is no bairei. Or there is a bairei, but he's out playing golf and he's not really interested in us anymore. And it's all running by the natural order. A person can delude themselves into thinking that. And the reason why a person could delude themselves is because there are malachim between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it would be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chvod v'atzmo running everything, no one would ever doubt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the bairei. You couldn't have an atheist. You couldn't even have an Oved Avodah Zarah. Everybody would be completely and totally just enraptured by the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Bairei Olam. There'd be no room for any kind of doubt. This distance creates the situation that we're in that a person could deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom. A person can do an Avera. A person could believe things which aren't emes. Because there is distance between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Gashmius realm. There is this Ruchmius realm that is doing all these Olamas between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in and says, Ani v'lo malach, Ani v'lo saraf, Ani v'lo ashaliach. And when that happens, there's no room for any kind of doubts. Then everything is crystal clear. Any other questions?
Was this always like this? It sounds like that's what Galus is.
Well, Galus is even more. When we're closer to, when we're doing the right thing, we are closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that things are more perfect. The world runs better. The natural order runs better. It's more obvious that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Bairei and we're Nivraim. All of that is more clear. When we're in the Matzav of Galus, all of that is even more veiled than normal. But even in a matzav of geula, there still is an element of a veil. Otherwise, the Beis Hamikdash could never have been destroyed, because it couldn't have been averus.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.